And welcome back to Success Made to Last Mentoring Monday, presented by ForWordWomen.org. I'm Rick Tokini. Our very special returning guest today is Krista Van Zandt. She is a native Oklahoman, an OU grad, an exec with Johnson Controls, and an active member of Forward Women. Krista, it's great to have you on again. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate the invite back. And yeah, I am a native of Oklahoma and love Oklahoma. It's home. I live in a suburb of Oklahoma City more, so a lot of people know more as the Tornado Alley. And I haven't moved away, even with all the risks of tornadoes. So excited to be here. I work for an organization that's in the community, Johnson Controls, which is a global organization, but it's a big staple in our community here. And I've been with that organization for about 18 years now. So this is home for me.
Hey, that is impressive. Hey, Krista, in the last couple of weeks, we had on David Frizzell, who sang and wrote the song, "You're the Reason God Made Oklahoma." So this must be Oklahoma month.
Yeah, you do that well.
Thank you. So it's like, this is Oklahoma month or something.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Let's jump into the important stuff of the day, because people actually listen to this show for mentoring tips. Tell us about today's topic of confidence. And why are there roadblocks to confidence?
Yeah, no, it's interesting, because confidence is one of those areas that a lot of people will think about and want to talk about but don't actually talk about. In fact, with Johnson Controls, we had a global women's summit last month, and it was one of the top areas that women wanted to discuss. So, and it's not just women that struggle with confidence, and especially in leadership, but men struggle with confidence. And so it was interesting when we did the survey and these polls that this was one of the strongest areas, strongest points that people still struggle with, regardless of what level they're in the organization. So it definitely is something that we all deal with from time to time. Some of us more chronic than others, but that's what we want to talk about today is you know, what is it that creates that gap in our confidence, and what are those roadblocks? Because they can be debilitating, and they can really create a hold where we can't move forward in our careers, professionally, even personally. It can be a stumbling block.
Yeah, a lot of people actually have told us on the show, and people that we have provided some mentoring to, that confidence can be debilitating.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've seen it in my own career. I've seen it in many, many careers that from emerging leaders that I've mentored and coached. And so it's a real thing. So it's not something that we make up and we think, you know, that's just what some people deal with. Everybody has their moments of insecurity. And when you're an emerging leader, you know, it can be very debilitating, because it's one of those things that if you're not confident in your leadership, you're constantly questioning yourself. And when you're questioning yourself, your team begins to question. And so it's just a vicious cycle. And so how do we change that paradigm about ourselves? You know, how do we combat those negative beliefs about ourselves? And that was kind of the journey that I had to go on as an emerging leader with my first experience of leading a team. It was a hard, hard time knowing how to manage that, because those negative beliefs were so deeply ingrained in who I was that I had a hard time shutting down those voices in my head.
Hmm. At Johnson Controls, I'm sure you've got the normal diversity mix of employees. Were you noticing and observing confidence as an issue with just one gender, or was it across the board?
I saw it within both genders, and it was interesting because, you know, before I became a leader, I looked at the models of different leaders within the organization, and I thought, that's how you do it, both men and women. But what I realized once I became a leader is that, you know, there were struggles that both men and women were having in leadership roles, not stepping into, you know, their competence and taking authority, you know, especially when conflicts would arise. I would see that with men and women, you know, not knowing how to have the confidence to stand when conflicts would arise in the workplace, not knowing how to handle it. And in some cases, it cost people their jobs because they didn't stand with that confidence to say, we need to talk about this and have those crucial conversations, because that takes some courage and you have to have the confidence to press in even when it's hard. And so over and over again, I would look at different leaders and models of leaders and think, okay, that's how you do it, but realize quickly that they struggle just as much as I was struggling.
It's true. In the case of a lot of men, they would admit that they have a confidence issue, but it manifests itself in how problems are solved and how people are led and the growth of their own subordinates, because sometimes if that leader is lacking confidence in some of the other core skills, their people are just minions and they follow the exact same path and emulate their boss.
It's true. It's true. And you know, we think about confidence and emerging leaders, but you know, it goes all the way up into the C-suite. I had an experience with a VP that I worked for many years ago. It was a female VP, and she exuded confidence. She was intelligent. She was well respected, and she was extremely personable. So she was liked by her teams. And I recall a situation where we had this huge project that was wrapping up, and she got up to talk about her team and how proud she was of her team and just all the hard work they'd done. And as she was talking about her team, she just began to tear up a little bit. Wasn't an ugly cry, but it was just a little tear up. And I remember thinking, you know, that she cares. She cares genuinely about her team. And for a moment, I really connected to her, and I thought, it's great to work for someone who genuinely cares. And so I caught her in the hallway a few days later, and I said, you know, that really touched me that you were vulnerable as a leader and, you know, just allowed that heart to come out. And she said, you know, I hate when I do that. She said, I seem over emotional. And she said, I just don't want to look like I'm not confident. And it just struck a chord with me, because I realized it doesn't matter how high you get up in the company or in the ranks, you still have moments that you struggle with confidence.
Yeah, it's a great observation you're making, and our friend Brené Brown is selling bazillion books around the topic of vulnerability. And why do you think it's okay in 2020 to show some of the chinks in the armor if it means being real, authentic, and connecting with other people?
Well, I think experience has shown us that, you know, we're in a culture of comparing, and we're starting to talk about it more. I think people are becoming more open about the emotional implications when we hold back vulnerability, and it really creates a dynamic where, again, with that particular VP, when I saw that vulnerability, my heart connected to hers, and it made, you know, doing the hard work, even if it's crappy work, it made it okay, because I was working with somebody who cared about what I did. So I think that, you know, even the leaders who struggle with vulnerability see the power behind it, because it does help others want to follow a leader who's, you know, honest and vulnerable and real. You know, that we can relate to that person versus the leader who's perfect and never does anything wrong. And that's kind of what perfectionism leads to, is just a stressed out, overworked, overwhelmed. And that's how I felt, you know, as a new leader with my first team, was just overwhelmed. I was unhappy, and I wasn't fulfilled. And so that vulnerability just allows us to connect more with our teams, and they want to serve, and we want to serve. And so it's just a dynamic that I think God created in us, this interdependency, and intentionally so that we could see that, you know, we can't do it on our own. We're not meant to do it on our own. And so I think vulnerability kind of brings us back to that place of we need others in our life. And so that confidence gap, it's really that inner voice that says, you know what, they don't like you. They don't think you're worthy. And then that imposter syndrome that I know we've talked about, you know, it comes into play. And so it's just a vicious cycle, and we have to stop it and begin to really look at our paradigm of how we feel about ourselves. Where do those negative beliefs come from? And that was a journey that I had to take personally for me to grow out of being so insecure in my leadership and in all the areas that I served in. I wanted to be confident, but I didn't know how. And it took a journey and some introspective work to really find where those beliefs started and how to combat them. You know, and if you look at the scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take captive every thought. Well, there's a reason that we're meant to do that, because the enemy is constantly speaking lies of our past, typically from our childhood, those areas that we struggled. And so when they come up, if we can take them captive and really recognize that these are not truths, I was created uniquely. I am a divine creation that God created for leadership, for purpose. And so when we begin to harness into that and see that, it can really change the dynamic of our confidence.
You bet. And I think part of your game plan and battle plan that you're addressing now is really about eliminating some of that self-doubt, negative self-talk, and moving yourself out of it. What can mentors do this week as they mentor their protégés about attacking the issue of self-confidence?
Well, I think the practical things that a mentor can help with a mentee is you can start to help them see that taking risks, you know, even when it's scary, do things that are a little bit frightening every day. You know, taking those risks can slowly build your confidence. Another practical thing is just list out your strengths. You know, look at the areas that you have achieved and accomplished and not negate those. I mean, we sometimes will look at the areas that we were good in and we'll think, you know, that was just luck, or I just was in the right place at the right time and it happened to just work out for me. But when we really stop and write it down, put our hearts to our pen, to our paper, and we can write out the strengths that we have, it connects us. And it connects to the brain, and we recall, you know what, these aren't accidents. These were things that I intentionally worked hard at and I accomplished. So mentors, giving that kind of as an assignment to their mentees. And then finally, I would say, you know, for a battle plan, you really need to surround yourself with a community. You need to have people that believe in you and that are supporting you, because there are those moments that we have failures. They happen, and it's real life. And so when you have a community of people, mentors, coaches, it was one of the reasons I engaged in Forward Women. I wanted a community of women that I could talk to about some of my professional accomplishments and my struggles and the areas that I wanted to grow in, and I wanted a community that was going to be supportive. And so that's what led me to Forward, is just seeking out that community. And so as a mentor, we can help our mentees see that a community building process will help support their confidence.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And Krista, tell our listening audience where they can find out more information on Forward Women.
Yeah, absolutely. So Forward Women, if you go to forwardwomen.org, you will find a lot of information about Forward. It's a great organization that truly is filled with hundreds of women who are in different phases of their careers, of their lives, and they're just such a support system. They have a great mentorship program. If you are struggling to find a mentor, they have a mentorship program, and I think it's launching for fall right now. So this is a great time to engage in that. But forwardwomen.org, and then there's chapters in different cities that connect on a monthly basis. So I would really suggest checking it out. And growing that community is just step one.
That is great. Krista, let's wrap up today's show with a bit of a surprise question for you. But, you know, every time you talk to me, there's always surprises.
Saying you're the reason God made Oklahoma. That was a surprise.
That's going to drive more
serenade.
But listen, over the weekend, Friday night, we lost, I think, an American treasure. And regardless of one's political views, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a great virtual mentor to millions of women. And at a whopping 4'11", she packed a punch. And what I loved most about her, and I didn't align with her, all of her doctrines and her philosophy, but I loved the fact that she thought before she spoke, and that she wrote arguments that were well-founded from her perspective. And I think she has a lot to teach even after she's gone on to the afterlife. She is still going to be teaching Americans, and especially women, some things that we all need to listen to. What did the notorious RBG mean to you?
Well, as I looked at her beginning of her career, you know, she took a lot of risks. She took a lot of risks, and especially in that time where, you know, women were not viewed as valuable or their voices were not being heard. You know, she took the risk of going forward in a male-dominated situation, and she just really, her voice became stronger as she took those risks. And, you know, she had to have moments of discouragement, there's no doubt, but watching her evolution and seeing her grow in her strength, it began with her ability to just take those risks. And I think it goes back to the confidence building. You know, it's hard to put ourselves in those situations. It feels uncomfortable. And so allowing ourselves to be uncomfortable, even just for a few moments, can really be inspirational, and it can drive us towards purpose. And we can begin to grow in our confidence and grow in the areas that we know that God's called us to be in. So I think just seeing her be that risk taker and just initiate through even those hard times.
Well, very good. Hey, thank you for your added perspective on that. That's your bonus in mentoring for the week, folks. Krista, come back soon. We love your wit and wisdom and always appreciate you on Forward Women's Mentoring Monday.
All right. Take care, guys.
That was Krista Van Zandt. We appreciate her being back on our Forward Women series, Mentoring Monday. I'm Rick Tocchini. As we always say, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week. Again, thanks to our sponsor, Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards, and their hilarious Church Kitchen Lady cards. Church Kitchen Ladies are a bunch of maybe 20 million volunteers across the United States that work in 300,000 churches, and they say stuff like, mind your own biscuits and life will be gravy. They also say, crunch tacos, not abs. And your crazy is showing, you might want to tuck that back in. And one of our favorites is Life is Short, Lick the Bowl. If you want to find out more about the wonderful Church Kitchen Ladies and join their roundtable, go to gracefully-yours.com today and find out about Church Kitchen Ladies and purchase all the rest of the fine Gracefully Yours greeting cards.